Welcome to Warriors Wrap Up.
And Block Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk.
Jam!
Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Draymond off the inbounds, finds a cutter at Oubre Jr. Oh, and gets another dunk, number 9 of the quarter for Golden State, throwing it down hard. My goodness.
Yeah, my goodness indeed. A big Friday night for the Golden State Warriors. Kelly Oubre Jr. and a career night in terms of assists for Draymond Green as he finishes with 19 dimes on the night. Warriors get the win. 130-121 over the Charlotte Hornets, and that, Ryan Covey, caps what is official. It is a three-game winning streak for the Golden State Warriors for the first time this season, and the Dubs also 19-15, so four games over 500 for the first time this season. Draymond Green was all over the place in the first quarter of this one. Warriors assisted on 16 of 17 buckets in the quarter, and it was just a very good night all around for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, man, and I know they were maybe running out of gas there at the end, but you know, after a long road trip, first home game back, they've been playing a ton of basketball lately. Hey, no problem. First three-game winning streak, just kind of, you know, landed in their lap, JD. Didn't really have to work too hard for it, right? I mean, we're only, what, 34 games into the season now, so not good for them. And I just have been so impressed with the way Draymond's bounced back since the debacle in Charlotte last weekend, and really since his whole team has responded, you know, peeling off three wins in a row, and they've just been playing some good basketball, man. I you know, Sunday will be a good test against the Lakers, but I love the ball movement. 38 dimes tonight. Gonna have to cut down on those turnovers, JD, but 38 dimes. It's a fun style of basketball to watch.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to give us a call or shoot us a text. It's Warriors Wrap Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey here tonight on 95.7 The Game. Warriors got off to a good start in this one, 36-28 at the end of the first quarter. Mentioned the 16 assists on 17 made field goals in the frame. And it really was the Draymond Green show. It was the Kelly Oubre Jr. show again, as Oubre scores 27 to go with Stephen Curry's 29. Draymond Green, his 25th career triple-double. Just a fast-paced game. This is a tough schedule game for the Warriors, too. I know, coming off the four-game road trip, but then also heading right back on the road tomorrow, and they're going to take on the Lakers Sunday, and then Portland and Phoenix to close out the first half here. I think this is the kind of game under normal circumstances where I would have been really worried about a slow start for the Warriors, maybe looking ahead a little bit to going and facing the Lakers again. Obviously coming off the four-game road trip with the Warriors feeling good about the way that it ended. But I think all of that was snuffed out, and in particular snuffed out by Draymond Green because of the fact that Charlotte was the opponent. I think the Warriors benefited tonight from the fact that they were looking at those Charlotte Hornets jerseys and players on the other side in such short order after they let that game slip away in Charlotte on Saturday, and Draymond specifically let it get away, getting ejected with the two technical fouls in the closing seconds. If this was a random game where maybe Detroit was in town or Chicago, it might have been a different story. But because it was Charlotte, I think the Warriors were ready to roll off the tip. And because they were ready to roll off the tip, when they struggled at times in this one, they always seemed to have enough of a cushion.
Yeah, and every time they got tested, they would push that lead back up to 15, and it looked like it was on ice, and you know, maybe Charlotte just ran out of time. But I agree with you. I mean, it was the James Brown big payback week, right? It was the revenge tour, and you know, we saw it against the Knicks and then against the Pacers the other night, gutting it out. This one, obviously, a little more higher scoring, teams combined for 251 points. But I think no question Draymond Green was up for this one, and for a myriad of different reasons. Kelly Oubre continued his ascension. Steph Curry ends up popping off for 29 tonight. You know, he had to work hard for it tonight, but, you know, Steph can just roll out of bed and get you 25. It's just, you know, how high is he going to go from there? And so, I absolutely, this was just one of those wins that the Warriors felt like they needed to get back, right? Can't do anything about what happened last Saturday night. Can't, you know, unring that bell, but what you can do is control how you play going forward, what you learn from it as a team, how you come together after something like that. And, you know, it's officially in the rear view, right? I mean, the Dubs, they're 4 games over .500. You got a 3-game winning streak. Draymond's playing his ass off right now. What happened in Charlotte last Saturday night clearly hasn't affected this basketball team. If it's effective in any way, it's brought them closer together.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And I think now with the Warriors at 19-15, we can also start to look a little bit big picture, because there were two things that I was thinking about tonight during the game as this thing was playing out and the Warriors were headed toward a win. And it was the Western Conference standings here as the Warriors with the win tonight, now 19-15. They're up to sixth. They're basically in a virtual tie for fifth with Portland. Portland lost to the Lakers tonight, so Portland's 18-14 now. They've actually lost four in a row after they were 18-10. Percentage points lead for the Blazers, but still a lead for the moment. You're basically tied for fifth, though. You move in front of San Antonio, virtual tie there, but the Warriors have the percentage point advantage, and you move a little bit farther ahead of Denver. We know it's all going to be jumbled up maybe between 6 or 7 and 10 or 11, but the Warriors, I think, right now, where they are right now, 3 in a row, 4 over for the first time, and an opportunity in the next 3 games specifically, and yes, games coming out of the break too, but they can start to really feel for where they stack up in the Western Conference, and I feel it's almost a time for Warriors fans maybe to dream big a little bit for this season. How good can this team be this season, these next 3 games, really the next 6? If the Warriors can get some wins and keep it rolling, we might be talking about a team that still has a shot to be in that top half of the Western Conference bracket.
You know, it's funny. It's like if you're about to go climb a mountain, you want to get in really good shape, right? Or, you know, when you're going to go out on a long road trip, you want to stock up the car, you want to fill it up with gas. I feel like the Warriors, they're about to embark on this journey, and I feel like they've gotten themselves ready for the trip about as well as you can, right? Car's packed up, you got everything ready to go. They got their passport, right? They got their money, the car's gassed up, bags are packed, and they're ready to go on a journey over their next 6 games that are really going to test their mettle in the Western Conference. They've been building up for this all year long, and they couldn't really be in a better spot collectively to do this, right? I mean, Kelly Oubre is playing the best ball of his tenure as a Golden State Warrior. I mean, he was just a monster tonight, back cutting and yamming all over the place. It's just been so fun to watch him. You're getting, you know, solid, steady play from two-way wigs, one of 3 guys who's been in double figures all 34 games this year. So great to see him doing his thing, night in and night out. Clearly, we're talking about Draymond. You got your bigs back. Looney and Wiseman were both in double figures tonight. I thought Wiseman was terrific. So they're basically, you know, ready for this challenge collectively. Now, how they're going to fare? Well, only time will tell, right? I mean, that's, you know, it all starts Sunday against the Lakers. And as I mentioned, you know, you're going to have to keep an eye on those turnovers. Things got a little sloppy with the Rock down the stretch, JD. But, you know, the next 3 games leading up to this All-Star break, these are 3 of the tougher games that the West Conference has to offer right now, right? At the Lakers, at Portland, at Phoenix. So bring them on, and I think they're ready for this. They're in a really good spot for a stretch like this. Now you're just going to have to go out there and win a couple of them.
Yeah, and you look at the Warriors, 6th in the Western Conference right now as things stand, and you play the Lakers who are in front of you, you play the Blazers who are in front of you, you play the Suns who are in front of you, and then coming out of the break, you play the Clippers who are in front of you, you play the Jazz who are at the top of the Western Conference, although they got beat by Miami tonight, and then you play the Lakers again. So it's if the Warriors are sitting right there at 6, and they are going to play everybody over the course of these next 6 games, and they're going to play the Lakers twice over these next 6 games. So it just we're going to find out where exactly this Warriors team is, and if they can be in the mix to be in the top half and the conversation as far as battling those teams, or if we're going to have to be having more of a conversation about the 5 through 8 spots and maybe even the play-in tournament. All in all, though, I think you could make the case that at least as far as this evaluation period goes, the Warriors are kind of peaking right when you'd want them to peak. And the 3 games in a row, it's 3 in a row. It really could be, if you look at it, it really could be, what, 7 in a row going back to the loss to Brooklyn. I mean, it's fascinating to think how crazy. I mean, they beat Cleveland, you beat Miami, you lose the 2 to Orlando and Charlotte, then you bounce back and beat the Knicks and beat the Pacers. I mean, this team is, you win tonight, it's tantalizingly close to being on a 7-game winning streak right now.
Yeah, a 7-game winning streak. You could be rolling 9 of 10. You know, you go back to the 2 you won before the loss to Brooklyn. I mean, you know, those go down as losses, and so fair enough. But I think really, JD, since what? When they went to Phoenix towards the end of January and got smoked, other than that Brooklyn game, that was the last time we really saw the Warriors not be competitive in a basketball game, right? And, you know, they've had some close losses, but, you know, I think we can see the growth as a team, too, as they've got some close wins. Really, this week in particular at New York, that game got a little dicey down the stretch, but they did enough. Certainly the Indiana game came down to the end. They got over the line there. So clearly this team is growing and learning as a group. And look, I'll say this. Like, clearly we're going to talk a lot about, you know, these 3 games next week running into the All-Star break. The one thing that I think we've learned about the Golden State Warriors so far this year, 34 games, is they can play with anybody, JD. And I think they're more apt to beat a good team than lose to a bad team. I know the old adage, you know, we've learned about the dozen. Well, they can beat anybody and they can lose to anybody. But right now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll say they're more likely to lose, or they're more likely to beat a good team than lose to a bad team. Like, they've been consistent enough for me. And, you know, also 19-15, well, 19-13 since those 2 really brutal road losses to start the season. So they've been playing some really good basketball. And I would be, JD, I would be very surprised if, you know, you look at the 3 on the front end, the 3 in the back end, those 6 games, 2-4 I think would be about the minimum I would expect for this team. I'm saying, man, 3-3, like, go get it. Go split these next 6 games and you will be in a prime position. I don't think you need to worry about them going like 1-5 or something. They're playing too good a team basketball, and the other teams in the NBA, you know, a lot of them are pretty damn inconsistent in their own right. So the Warriors are certainly capable of beating any one of these teams on their day.
Let's get to Brian in San Leandro. Brian joining us here late night on a Friday night on Warriors Wrap-Up with JD and Covey. What's going on, Brian? What's up, Brian?
Oh, great. All right, first and foremost, I miss Clay. All right.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Second of all, you guys have been talking about, like, what is James Wiseman's nickname? Like, what's a good nickname for James Wiseman, right? And I've been waiting for you guys to say it. There's been so many. And you guys have been, like, strongly saying it's going to come naturally, right? Give it time. Give it time. It's coming naturally. And I just know it's J-Mon. It's J-Man. Sorry, not J-Mon. It's J-Man. Because when Jay, you're like, he's in the middle of a play and you're like, James Wise, you can't even get his name on. You're like, J-Man. And that's his nickname.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, Brian. Brian in San Leandro. Yes, be safe out there tonight. Yeah. Be safe out there tonight, brother. I hope you're home.
No driving. Just kick back and watch the replay and listen to the show. We got you covered, baby.
Yeah, J-Man works. I don't. J-Man works. Just don't call him Big Jim. Like, that's the one that we just and I never called him Big Jim. And actually, we haven't had too much of the nickname conversation on this show. I know it has been something that's been talked about on maybe some of the other shows a little bit more. Look, it's going to come in time. I mean, J-Dub, J-Man, something
will pop up. Well, I like J-Dub, right, because he's on the Dubs, a little J-Dub action. I don't mind Big Jim. Jumbo Jimbo? I don't know.
Big Jim is like Jim. Big Jim is like Jim Barnett.
No,
like,
but that's kind of saucy, though. I don't know. Like, you know, it's like naming your dog Mike or something. You know what I mean? Like, go against the grain a little bit. Like, all the young cats today, J-Dub and, you know, J-Money.
That's like calling somebody Hoss. Like no, you know, you don't call it.
Call him Chief.
I mean, you're not going to call an NBA player Hoss. Like, you know, really big Jim.
It's like when somebody calls me Chief, I'm out on that. I'm like, I ain't Robert Parrish, bro. Yeah, no, I hear you. He's balling, though. Bottom line, whatever his nickname is, J-Man, Jaw. I actually kind of like Jaw-Man. And, like, it sounded like Draymond, but J-Mon. Yeah, J-Mon. That's good.
Brian did bring up something that I wanted to touch on, though. It leads to my second point. I told you there were two things I was really thinking about.
That's maybe for tomorrow after
Warriors this week.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough.
With Mick Fidel at about, because there's no game tomorrow, so that's maybe like 1 o'clock tomorrow. So check back with me, Covey. I may be a little outdoor dining in my future.
I love it.
He mentioned Klay Thompson. There were two things I was thinking about. I was thinking about, all right, Warriors are hot. They've won three in a row finally. They're very close to what would be a seven-game winning streak. You effectively point out it could be 9 out of 10. Yes, they're not, and we know they're not, but it does play to the point that Steve Kerr's made, which is, hey, this team's trending in the right direction, and they're waiting to break out. I think we're starting to see that. True test, though, coming up the next three. The other thing I was thinking about tonight watching the Warriors was, how could this team look next year? And when Brian mentioned Klay, I don't know why tonight was the night I was thinking this, but I was thinking, man, you know, Wiseman and Draymond's playing at an elite level again. Ball's hopping around. Curry's doing his thing, playing at an MVP level. Wiggins didn't have his best game tonight, but still mostly solid. He was a minus 22. He was out there for some bad bench stretches. The point I'm getting at is you put Klay with Steph and Draymond and Wiseman, and then you figure out what the heck's going on with Oubre, because I think the door is opening to this conversation that I think I was the first one to bring it up, which was, Does the conversation shift toward how do you keep Kelly Oubre? And would Kelly Oubre be interested in staying? And would the Warriors be interested in maybe keeping him to be a bench player? I know there's a lot of layers to that. But, again, I started thinking about Klay on this team next year, a revamped bench. You know, they're probably going to need to get a backup point guard and fix the backup wing situation, decide how Pascal's going to fit. A lot of question marks in certain areas, but the core of this thing with Klay and with Wiseman and with Steph and Draymond, that's freaking scary, and it's scary next year, Covey.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, look, this team this year was all about erasing the stain of 15 wins last year, getting some guys back healthy, integrating some new pieces. As soon as you lost Klay Thompson, all hope of, you know, maybe making a run at a Larry O'Brien trophy probably went out the window, but it doesn't mean that this team can't still, you know, with the guys that you do have on the team this year that are also going to be here next year, it's not like they can't learn how to play together and win together and have a measure of success and build their confidence as a group, build their chemistry. I mean, think about early in the year how much Draymond Green's having to direct traffic in the offensive end, right? He's like pointing cuts and telling guys where to be. Now it's like they know, right? I mean, they're starting to figure it out. So when you can go through a whole NBA regular season where, you know, the expectations aren't sky high and you have an opportunity to grow as a group, and then you just add a guy like Klay Thompson into that mix, and you got, you know, everybody a year of continuity. You've got James Wiseman a year under his belt at the NBA level. I mean, there's so much to be excited about next year. And then, yeah, you figure out, hey, is Kelly Oubre going to be sticking around? Because if Kelly Oubre's coming off the bench, I got news for you. Your bench is looking pretty nice from the top, right? And then you start to fill that thing out with the Eric Pascals of the world, and then you kind of take it from there. That's a nice seven-man rotation right there, right? And then one of your bigs that you got left over, if it's Wiseman starting, maybe you got Looney, there's eight. I mean, all of a sudden, you're looking at a pretty deep rotation. So, hell yeah. Like, this year's about taking that big step. So, next year, it's not like, oh, man, how do we figure it out? It's like, no, we already know. Let's just add 11 back into the mix and go make a run at a Larry O'Brien trophy.
888-957-9570. JD and Covey, Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Let's get to Eric and Milbrae. What's up, E? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, dog?
What's going on, Eric?
Man, I'm loving what I'm seeing. Draymond, one way to quickly silence all the critics of him is play like he is, and he's playing lights out right now. This is the all-star Draymond we've been used to seeing, and I hope this is him just going forward, not him just, you know, fired up, you know, with emotion and, you know, playing well for a stretch of the season. I hope he can play. Obviously, he's not going to drop triple-doubles like he did tonight, but this high-level intensity he's playing on both ends of the court, I hope we can see this going forward, because with the Warriors as a collective unit are a completely different team when he's playing like he is, when he's just a floor general out there and allowing Curry to free flow out there. Obviously, now we got Wiseman back and Looney. I just love where we're going. And to me, Oubre, I was definitely wrong about him. I fell into the trap with everybody else at that first start of the season. But this dude is a baller. I hope they do keep him. I think I'm going to be wrong, though, because somebody's going to offer him big money, and he wants to get paid and be a starter. I don't think he wants to be a backup from just from what I can see from him, but I hope I'm wrong. But this dude is a baller as well. Everything coming in the unit, they avenged that loss, the way they lost coming off that Charlotte game last Saturday night. So what do you guys see going forward now, these next three games? Lakers, obviously, they won tonight, but I think they're beatable. Portland, the Warriors normally play them pretty well, and they can beat them. The team I'm looking at is Phoenix. I definitely thought Phoenix would be a borderline playoff team, but that team right now, Chris Paul and Devin Booker are probably the best backcourt in the league. What are you guys looking forward with this team that we thought would be good or kind of shaky, like Dallas and Denver at the bottom of the standings? Do you think the Warriors can catch up and to be that top four seed? Because I'm looking at Phoenix, man, and they're refusing to lose. They're balling out. I'll get your thoughts on that. Great win. I can't wait to Sunday night when they beat the Lakers again. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call. I mean, getting to five is obviously doable for sure because they're right there already. I mean, they're basically tied with Portland. Portland's played a couple fewer games. They have one fewer win, one fewer loss. So that'll even out, and the Warriors have every opportunity to get to five. Four is going to be a little trickier. I mean, you look at it right now. I mean, they are three games back, four in the loss column of Phoenix. Phoenix is 21-11, so that's 10 over 500. So that, I mean, they're playing at a 43-44 win pace right now. So, you know, that if you're going to do that, I mean, it's not off the table. There's plenty of games to go. In this season, I mean, 38 of them to be exact. So it's not off the table, but that I think is going to be a taller ask. And I think it puts an impetus on that game in Phoenix to close out the break, which at times can be a tricky one. You know, this year with the way the schedule works, it's three games against everybody in the West. And the Warriors already have one in hand in Phoenix that they lost and got thumped in the second half. And so they'll play in Phoenix again, and then they'll come to Chase Center one time in the second half of the schedule. So if you want to get that tiebreaker against them, that means you're going to have to beat them the next two times. And in addition to that, you'd also gain two head-to-head games in the standings on them. You currently trail by three. So if you want to catch Phoenix, you probably need to win that last game before the break.
Yeah, well, and look, Phoenix, I mean, you know, we know with Booker and Paul and Ayton and guys like Kaminsky, like, they can score. They're really good defensively, too, though, and they can lock you down, man. I mean, I'm a Bulls fan. You know that, JD? I was watching that game tonight, and, you know, the Bulls were up. At one point, they were up, like, 16, and, I mean, Phoenix just turns it on, and we've seen them do this a couple of times in the fourth quarter especially, just shut teams down. They did it to New Orleans, you know. What was that last weekend where they, you know, only allowed them like 12 points in the fourth quarter or something? They did it to Chicago tonight, only allowing 16. So they are capable of getting stops, and we know they could fill it up offensively. So yeah, Phoenix, sneaky dangerous, and it goes back to the bubble, right? I mean, Monty Williams had that team playing so good. What, they go 11-0 in the bubble, I want to say, JD, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, 8-0.
So it felt like 11-0, but regardless, they didn't lose in their damn bubble, and then they go and add Chris Paul to that team. And they just, you know, they've certainly continued to roll. The Lakers, you know, they don't have Anthony Davis. They actually got a big win tonight to get back to their winning ways, and it actually helped the Warriors. I mean, beating Portland, so you know, helped the Warriors move up the line there. But yeah, I mean, that's a tough nut to crack, man. The two LA teams, obviously, Utah is looking like they're pretty damn untouchable, barring injury. I think Utah probably run away with the West, or certainly win the West. May not run away with it. And I don't think the Clippers have too much of an onus on the regular season. I know they want to put more focus on it this year than they did last year. But either way, I mean, five for the Warriors, six. As long as you can avoid that 7-10 play-in tournament, like, that's all you can ask for. And then, you know, if you're the sixth seed, you know, maybe you get to play the Clippers or, you know, the Lakers or even the Suns if they get up there. You know what, honestly, JD, I the Warriors certainly wouldn't be favored in that series, but I wouldn't bet against them to at least, you know, push it to six games, maybe seven games. Nobody wants to play the Dubs in a seven game series. I can promise you that. With their mixture of, you know, defensive length, youth, athleticism, experience, 3-point shooting, defensive ability, like, they check a lot of boxes, man, and they're you know, a fun team to watch in the regular season. I think the Warriors, the way that they play, they would be really tough to deal with in a playoff series. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, to me, it's get to Phoenix. Like, I don't care if you can. It almost doesn't. It's get to the five spot, really. I want to avoid Utah and the Clippers and the Lakers, but I don't think it really matters if you're the four or the five, because home court advantage matters so little this year. And I know there's hope that there's going to be fans on some level before the end of the season. But to me, if you're the five and you're playing Phoenix, and Phoenix has kind of a storybook regular season, and they've added Chris Paul, and look, there's no doubt they're good. But if the Warriors were playing Phoenix in a 4-5 and the Warriors were five with Chris Paul and some of the playoff demons, with the rest of that Phoenix team having not accomplished anything, they'd be in their first playoff series in 10 years as a franchise. That's one where I think the Warriors could pull off what I think would be considered a mini upset if the Warriors are good enough to be the five seed. So, to me, that's what it is. I know it'd be fun to see him play the Clippers, Lakers. Utah obviously is having kind of a special season right now. But to me, that's the matchup. If you're the Warriors, it doesn't even matter if you're fourth. But if Phoenix winds up four and you can get to five and play them, I think that's a series that the Warriors would have a hell of a shot to maybe win. 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. More phone calls coming up here. We'll hear from Steve Kerr as well as the Warriors beat the Hornets tonight 130-121. And you heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
Curry behind the back, flipped it over to Kent Bazemore. Cross court, left hash mark to Draymond. Downstairs, Oubre Jr. catches and dunks again.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors win tonight 130-121, 888-957-9570. Warriors now 19-15 on the season. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Dubs, Steve Kerr, here in just a moment. Also, we will hear from Draymond Green and Kelly Oubre as well, as the Warriors win it tonight and now off to Los Angeles, where they will take on the Lakers for the second time this season on Sunday evening, in a game you can hear right here, of course, on 95.7 The Game. Let's get back to the phones. Rich Calray is up next here. What's up, Rich Calray? How you doing? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Well, you know, I've been calling y'all a couple times now. Look, I want y'all to take a step back here. I want y'all to realize that y'all have more power in your voice than you actually realize. Now, don't say anything. You guys were personally responsible for running Kevin Durant out of town. You know, and then you bashed Oubre when he was struggling. See, now I played basketball. You know, I played D1 and then the D League. So,
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. That's that. Thanks, Rich Calray. You're done. Disqualified. 888-957-9570.
Out of town. That's hilarious. Yeah,
yeah, we did not run. Yeah, you're talking to the wrong guys. You're talking to the wrong guys there.
I love Kevin Durant,
man. But yeah, and as far as Oubre, I mean, look, Oubre wasn't playing well. Oubre wasn't playing well, and he was taking some heat when he wasn't playing well. He was historically bad at the beginning of the year in terms of knocking down shots from 3-point range, and now he's playing and shooting the basketball as well as he has in his career over the course of the last month. So it's starting to even out, and he's helping him win games. And look, when a guy struggles, he's going to be criticized. When a guy plays well, he's going to be praised. It's pretty simple. And Kelly Oubre's been playing exceptional basketball over the course of the last month, and we've talked about that.
Yeah, man. It's the price of being a professional athlete. That's why the job pays so well, man. Like, our job is to evaluate the team. We go game to game. I just think it's hilarious, A, to think that we have any kind of sway there, and B, like, of course, like, Kelly Oubre needed to be criticized. He was playing terrible, and then now we're applauding him. And here's the thing. Like, I felt like when the Warriors got Kelly Oubre, he was going to be a really good fit with this team, and then I had to question that by the way everything started, and then now it's being validated. I'm happy for Kelly Oubre. I love guys that play with swag. I think too often, JD, like, we, you know, broadcasters all kind of get lumped into one group, you know, like you guys, dot, dot, dot. It's like, no, no, we're all very individual. They're all individual tastes, individual takes. Like, so I don't know. I kind of take exception to that type of thing.
No, no question. And the other part is, too, there's a difference between pointing out that a guy is struggling because we're talking about sports for a living and saying that the guy's a bum who needs to go and doesn't, you know, look, it looked like it didn't fit. And I was the first one to say, I'll absolutely stand by what I said. There's a great chance that this is just a one-year thing. And you know what? Even as well as Kelly Oubre's playing, it's still probably more likely than not going to be a one-year thing, because if Oubre continues to play at the level that he's playing at, another team is going to make him an offer that the Warriors, in all likelihood, would be uncomfortable matching. So that's the thing. Like, the better he plays, the more that price is going up, and Kelly Oubre still is a player that's going to be looking for a big-time contract from somebody. He's making $14 million this year, so that means that he's probably going to be looking at around a $20 million annual salary. He's going to be looking at a 4-80 type of a contract from somebody, especially if he continues to play at the level that he's played at. Now, would the Warriors do that? Maybe they would. We'll see. I think the next 2.5 months are going to dictate that story, whether the Warriors would be comfortable with that. But the other part of it is Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre may want to go and be a player that's making starter level money in the league and be a starter. So it's a two-way street here. And the same thing is in play now that was in play at the beginning. Because I was actually one that wasn't saying trade him when he wasn't playing well. I said, well, you know, you might just have to deal with it. He's still playing defense, and maybe you won't want him back next year. Now it looks more like maybe you would want him back next year, but he might be playing himself out of your price range at the same time.
Yeah, could it just be that this is a mutually beneficial relationship, right? He comes to the Golden State Warriors playing for a high-profile team in this market with this franchise alongside Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and he shows out well, and nobody, it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. Everybody knows that, and if Oubre continues playing his ass off, he could get everything he ever wanted financially from the NBA, and, you know, maybe at that point, if you're Bob Myers and company, you wish him well. You say, hey, man, thanks for filling in for 11. We're getting our Hall of Fame two-guard back next year. We know you want to go be a starter somewhere. Kelly Oubre said, thanks for bringing me into the fold. I'm going to go get paid now. You wish him well. And, you know, maybe in 3 or 4 years, Kelly Oubre had so much fun here, he comes back and plays for the Dubs. It's like, that's what a business relationship should be, right, JD? It should be mutually beneficial. And right now, this thing is certainly tracking that way. Whereas, you know, a month and a half ago, it was, man, the Warriors, when you add the luxury tax implications, are paying $80 million for a guy to shoot 11% from three-point range. That's not good. But give credit to Kelly Oubre. He's turned it around, and in the process, this Warriors team is winning a lot of basketball games. But we're just, like, for me, the only thing I'm interested in is telling the truth along the way, right? I wanted Kelly Oubre to succeed. I like his swag, but if he was playing like hot garbage, we had to call it out. And when he's playing great, we're going to call it out.
Tenderloin Dad is up next on 95.7 The Game here on Warriors Wrap-Up. What's up, Tenderloin Dad?
Hey, JD and Covey. I have to say, I'm pretty surprised the Warriors have gone and won 3 games in a row. I've been kind of harsh on the team this year and been thinking that they were going to, you know, lose 3 in a row before they won 3 in a row. But and I have to say, this has really been started by Draymond Green. I had no words last week after his performance in Orlando and in Charlotte. It was really hard for me to process. But he's now gone on a streak, consecutive rash performances. And I'm really enjoying watching him play. That's all I got to say. Let's go, Warriors. You guys have a great night.
All right. Appreciate the call, man. I mean, he's been a tone setter. He has been a man on a mission these last 3 games now in terms of leadership and setting the tone. And I think also wanting to atone for costing this team, and, you know, his words, costing his team that game in Charlotte.
JD, he's got 42 assists and 30 rebounds in his last three games. 42 assists and 30 rebounds. He's also got 4 blocks and 7 steals. And, you know, he still really can't hit a three-point shot to save his life. He's 2 for 8 in those games, you know, 25%. Not great, obviously, but he's getting even the layups around the bucket. I mean, you know, what, 13 for 24? For his last two games, shooting the basketball as well, 13 for 23, excuse me. So, you know, even that's been a success. I mean, look, the best way to put something like that in the rearview mirror is to go out and win basketball games. Go out and ball out. Let your play do the talking, right? Like, everybody gets knocked down. It's how you respond from that and how you push forward. And quite frankly, how your teammates rally around you as well, right? I mean, he was not good in Charlotte that night. It wasn't just that he lost his mind and, you know, got teed up. I mean, you look at the box score that night. Draymond played terrible that night. And obviously not having Steph Curry certainly affected him, but he was playing damn good before that. And since then, he's even ramped it up to another level. 19 assists tonight? Man, I texted with Fitz, do a little name drop right there. I texted Fitz. I'm like, dude, he looks like Jason Kidd the way he's surveying the floor. He's like, Fitz is like more like Magic Johnson. I mean, seriously, Draymond's court vision and the angles that he passes, the anticipation, the way that he sends guys on cuts. I mean, he is out there just conducting a freaking symphony offensively, and then defensively, the way he comes over and helps. I mean, it's incredible. Draymond's doing it all, and that's how you turn the page from a bad moment, and he's done that in a resounding fashion.
Jules and Hercules. Jules, you're next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Jules.
Hey, what up, JD? What up, Covey? So last week I thought about what you said, JD, about, like, we've known about Draymond and the cat's been out of the bag since 2016. I don't know if you remember, you said that to me. And, like, tonight was proof of exactly what you said. You know, like, we know kind of the way that he works and kind of, like, what motivates him. So I just want to say, like, you were correct about that take. And what I appreciate about you guys is when we lose, you let us kind of vent and then you listen to us. And then after that, you come up with a really good response or a question. And I really appreciate that about you guys. Quickly, I just want to say one thing that really got me excited was when both of you were talking about kind of the future next year. And, you know, most people, they think about the offensive side of it, but I just thought about the defensive side of it, if we were able to keep Oubre off the bench. So defensively, just like closing-wise, that would be like a really good unit, depending on how Wiseman develops or if they do a small ball lineup where Oubre ends up closing with them. So I'll take it off there, you guys. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for always listening and responding respectfully to all of us fans. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all love, man. Appreciate it, Jules. Jules and Hercules checking in. Look, it'd be a hell of a closing lineup. Think about the options here. And look, I'm just daydreaming a little bit. But Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Oubre, Draymond as your small ball closing lineup, if you want to do that. If Wiseman develops into a guy that has to be on the floor and you go traditional, then you could go Steph, Clay, Wiggins, or Oubre, whoever's playing well that night, Draymond, and Wiseman to close the game. That's the other part and the added benefit of maybe wanting to retain the services of Kelly Oubre is it gives you another option. If maybe it's at one of those nights where Wiggins doesn't have it or isn't shooting well or isn't as aggressive as you want him maybe to be, Oubre could fill that role, and between the two of them at that position, you'd know you're going to get something 80% of the time or more.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, you know, there was a reason why the Golden State Warriors were keen to acquire Kelly Oubre when they lost Klay Thompson. Obviously, you're not going to find a replacement for him. We know that. But I'll tell you this much. Joe Lacob giving the go-ahead to spend on Oubre and dip into the tax like that, it was, hey, look, you know, we privately financed the Chase Center. Team went 15, you know, won 15 games our first year there. I'm not going out like that, right? It's no. This team is going to turn this thing around, and they felt like Kelly Oubre was a guy that was available that they could put on this basketball team, plug him in, and he could bring game on both ends of the floor, right, JD? You're not gonna replace Klay Thompson, we know that, but certainly Kelly Oubre could bring enough. And here's a guy who's gotten better every single year in the NBA. I mean, just look at Kelly Oubre's body of work during his time in the league. He's gotten better every single year as he's gotten more comfortable and you know, obviously getting off to a slow start this year. But, I mean, we've seen a guy totally now come into his own. You can tell he's out there. He's having fun. He's comfortable. It just took a little while to get up to speed to the way that Steve Kerr and these guys want to play basketball together. And, man, you can only hope that Kelly Oubre would want to stick around here. He probably wants to go be a starter somewhere. You can't blame him. I mean, he was a reserve in Washington and, you know, got a taste of the starting life in Phoenix and obviously here in Golden State. So I would imagine he wants to continue to do that. But if he wants to, you know, if the Warriors will pay him, you know, what he thinks he's worth and he wants to go try and win a title next year, like, hey, that's a pretty nice start, man, the way you lay out that lineup. And those are some nice options for Steve Kerr. As I like to say, man, that dog will hunt in the Western Conference next year.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It's Warriors wrap-up with JD and Covey here on 95.7 The Game. We got off to a little bit of a later start tonight, so we're going to roll on into the 11 o'clock hour till about 11:15 or so, get you that full hour of Warriors wrap-up. After a big win, Warriors at their high water mark of the season, as they are now 19-15, so four games over 500 for the first time on the season. And the Warriors also get the three-game winning streak for the first time on the season, Covey. So people are feeling good at this point. I'm doing a little bit of quick math, by the way. Just I like to, from time to time, do those projections. And right here, as I was talking, 40-32. Is now the Warriors' pace currently. 19-15 over 72 games would add up to 40-32 for the Warriors. And I got to tell you, this team goes 40-32. I think they're probably going to be right there as the fifth seed. I mean, at worst. I mean, I think it's probably going to take more than that to be the four. But I feel like 40-41. Would definitely be enough to be the five, somewhere in that range. And the Warriors right now are on pace to get to that point.
Yeah, and all you can do is control how you play, right? And, you know, just keep bagging wins and kind of let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, the other part, too, is, you know, the Warriors finish up the season on a six-game winning streak. The schedule really eases up. You know, this next six is going to test them. We know that. But after that, I mean, they're going to be favored in, what, probably eight of the next 11 games, something like that, after the six they got coming up. So they got an opportunity to make some hay. And then, you know, you close out the season at the Chase Center. I mean, who knows if there's going to be some fans in the joint at that point. You hope maybe a little something. But yeah, man, they're going to have a great opportunity. And some of the teams that, you know, they're chasing got a lot tougher schedules to close out the year. So bring it on. Just keep stacking up dubs. And, you know, hopefully some of those losses, like to Charlotte and Orlando and, you know, the Dallas game, you know, hopefully those won't come back to haunt them. But can't worry about it now. All you can do is learn from them and be better about closing out games and take that on into the next time you're in a, you know, two-minute situation like that and come out on the right side. So I think this team's growing up before our eyes, and man, they are fun to cover, JD. There's no doubt about that.
Let's hear from Steve Kerr. A couple of cuts, a lot of good Steve Kerr postgame tonight in the Zoom room after the Warriors get the win against Charlotte, 130-121. Let's hear from Steve Kerr first off on the headliner of the evening, and that was Draymond Green with his 25th career triple-double. And here's what Steve Kerr had to say about Draymond's 19 assists, a new career high.
Yeah, it started right at the beginning of the game, Kareth. I mean, he was just picking the defense apart, and I think he had seven or eight assists, you know, the first time I looked up at the scoreboard, you know, late in the first quarter. So he was fantastic. I think you can see that Draymond is in really good shape. Just physically, he looks better, he feels better, and he's on top of his game right now.
On top of his game, physically getting there. Again, every time that comes up, I feel like Draymond deserves a tip of the cap because he called his own shot on that one.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he kind of let, you know, he talked about losing his win quickly when he talked to I think it was Fitz and Kalen after the game, and if you kind of read between the lines, he was relating it to COVID. Now, he's never actually specifically come out and said, sure, to the best of my knowledge, but, you know, he kind of maybe let it slip a little bit. And, you know, whatever. It's none of our business. The point is, like, you know, we know that there was some issues before the season, and so him getting into optimal condition was going to be a bit of a process. And you're right. He said a couple weeks ago, I'm getting close. And it was one of those, okay, well, we'll see, right? Because, you know, at that point, the assist numbers weren't where they are now. Defensively, he was good, but now he's playing great. And it was still with the same offensive struggles that have been carrying around for the last few years. So, you know, it was worth wondering aloud, are Draymond Green's best days behind him? Well, he certainly doesn't look washed anymore. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And look, he said he was a couple of weeks away, and since then, I mean, the dude's been playing his ass off. Obviously, hit a bump in the road in Charlotte last weekend, but certainly has picked himself up nicely. And if he needed, you know, if he's using that as motivation, so be it, because clearly it's working.
All right, let's hear more Steve Kerr. This time on Kelly Oubre. Oubre's been getting to the bucket a lot, cutting, and the Warriors are finding him. He's got a nice little connection working with Draymond Green. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about Oubre getting more comfortable on his cuts.
We knew that the game was going to be a little wild. You know, Charlotte brings a lot of energy, and they push the tempo. You know, things can get a little chaotic. If we're somewhat organized within that chaos, then that's when Draymond just starts picking people apart with his vision and his passing. And, you know, Kelly's just gotten so much better now in recent weeks with his recognition of, you know, what's open, what's available on the cuts, and he's knocking down three-point shots too. So Kelly's in a great groove.
He just looks like he's a guy that's getting comfortable in the offense and just knowing when to just get it. It's like a receiver and a quarterback. It just, the timing was off, and it looked like he didn't see. You know, we talk a lot with Wiseman about James Wiseman, how it looks like, all right, things haven't slowed down for him at times yet. Oubre was a similar thing. I think not used to maybe being in that Warriors system, but now he's getting more comfortable and he's starting to see things maybe at the same time Draymond is seeing him, and that connection has been just so much better.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, it's not like Draymond's having to direct him where to go. He just implicitly
yes.
knows where to go, and that's a huge part of it. It kind of becomes muscle memory, right? And there's been a couple of plays, too. I know Fitz mentioned this on the broadcast, and I thought it was a great point. You know, there was at one point he ends up underneath the basket, and maybe in the past he'd look to put that up and maybe put up a wild shot. Instead, he kind of pump fakes and then dips it to Wiseman, who throws it down for a jam. Now, nice luxury to have, you know, a seven-footer, you know, standing in your midst to dump it off to. But, like, that's, again, like, seeing the game slowing down, not trying to do too much yourself, just trust the process, always make the right read, right? And make the right basketball play. And I think that's been a huge part of it. And before, you know, when he wasn't so adept at cutting, it was, you know, he'd get the ball out on the wing and look to attack, put the ball on the floor. That's ISO game. That's not the Warriors style, right? That's not Steve Kerr's system. It's let Draymond and Steph be the guys that do the distributing there. You cut to the basket. They're going to get it to you because that's what they do, and then you can finish, you know, moving, and it makes it so much harder for the defense to track you down and ultimately defend you. So I just think he's getting more comfortable. Then how about that stretch in the fourth quarter too, JD, where, you know, the Warriors kind of needed a bucket. Charlotte was flirting with maybe getting back in it, and, you know, he's confident when it's one pass and he puts up that three with about 18 seconds left on the shot clock because he was open and he feels confident that he can knock it down. Now, if you miss the shot, you say, ooh, maybe not the best look there. But if you make it, it's, hey, Kelly Oubre is playing with a lot of confidence. So, I mean, I just think we see him getting more and more confident as every game passes.
Yeah, no, we absolutely do. And that's a shot that it felt like we watched him miss 15 or 20 or
no
25
doubt.
Times in the first few weeks of the season, where you just thought every one of them was going down. And every one of them, for the most part, was a miss. But that's leveling out as he's been extremely hot here in the month of February. More from Steve Kerr in a moment, but I want to keep it on what we were just talking about and the connection between Draymond and Oubre. Draymond Green actually addressed this in his post-game media availability, just getting on better terms with Oubre.
It got me in a great rhythm, and it was very fun. Cause I've been telling Kelly, like, hey, man, if you cut, I'll find you. You know, your guys step up. If you cut, I'll find you. And he's figuring it out, you know, and he's not, like I said, he's not just cutting. They're timely cuts. They're at the, you know, he's cutting at the right moment. He's reading the game. And so, obviously, I had a great game passing the ball, but you know, a lot of that was due to Kelly putting the pressure on the rim that he was putting on the rim.
Yeah, good stuff from Kelly Oubre. And it's Draymond, man. He figures it out. Like, if you give him, you know, it's whether it was health and being out of sync or whatever, it's just he's such an intelligent basketball player that he can read a team, I feel like. And I think he's there, some of this has been going on. He's figured out where he fits and how he has to play for this team to help them win. And he can mold his game, I think, to a certain, you know, to use his strengths to maximize them to just impact winning. And it may not be scoring, and it hasn't been, but I almost feel like Draymond's figuring out this team as the season goes on. They're figuring him out. They're figuring out how to play with Steph. Obviously, Draymond's a big part of it. But the one thing that you can see, too, is Draymond kind of knowing, if I do this here, if I do that there, if I direct traffic here, if I help this guy in this way, he's figuring out how to maximize what he's still capable of doing at a high level.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation, JD. And, I mean, if you think about it, the last time that we saw Draymond playing with, you know, higher-level NBA players, you know, certainly with Steph and some of the other guys, it was Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala. Like, you know, those guys had all been together for so long. Clay, where it was just straight-up muscle memory, and you can go out there and just kind of do the show, right? And certainly Draymond didn't need to be as involved on the offensive end, whether be it scoring or even, you know, setting guys up, because, I mean, there were just so many different guys that were capable of doing it. You know, it wasn't required like that. But on this team, and it's a testament to Draymond. Okay, the three-point shot isn't there. Fair enough. How else can I help the team? And it would be hard to argue that he's not, you know, other than Steph right now, is probably the key cog in the wheel because of what he's doing. And he, you know, that's the epitome of a pro, which is finding what you do well and being able to do it. I think that just shows his growth as a pro.
Time for Who's Hot and Who's Not, which is sponsored by Exergen. Accuracy matters. Who's hot? Well, Draymond Green was hot tonight for the Warriors. The 25th career triple-double, 19 points to go with the – I'm sorry, 11 points to go with the 19 assists, 12 boards. Again, 25th triple-double. Kelly Oubre's been hot throughout the month of February, 11 for 15 for Oubre tonight, 3 of 6 from 3. So Oubre, 8 of 9 from 2 in this one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to make those dunks 89-90% of the time. There's no question about it. So he's been hot. And again, Who's Hot, Who's Not, sponsored by Exergen. Because accuracy matters. And before we close it up here, I want to get to the who's not. It was another rough game for Brad Wanamaker tonight. And Steve Kerr was asked about the bench, and he was asked about Wanamaker specifically. It's so funny that the first half, Covey, it was a game of runs, right? Warriors, great first quarter. They're up 36-28. Top of the second quarter, Wanamaker, Lee, Wiggins, Pascal, and Wiseman playing together. I don't know if I love that. Wanamaker, a brutal stretch for Brad Wanamaker at the top of the second quarter. Charlotte outscored the Warriors 15-3, so it was an 8-point lead for the Dubs that turned into a 4-point deficit. Steph and Draymond came back in and cleaned it up for the Warriors, 27-8. So the Warriors were back up 15 at the half. But it was a bad pass, a travel. Malik Monk took him to the rack. He missed a couple of layups. I mean, it was a really rough stretch for Brad Wanamaker in this ball game. I want to hear from Steve Kerr first on Wanamaker and what he needs out of Brad, and then I want to get your take on this.
Sure.
Brad has been very good defensively for us, and I know people are locked in on his shooting. But the fact is, Brad has been an excellent defender for us this year. He's a big reason why our defense has gotten a lot better, you know, over the course of the season. He's strong. He can guard multiple spots. He just has to get more comfortable offensively. He's a much better shooter than he has shown. You know, it's not an easy situation for him. I barely play him with Steph and Draymond, so he's got a burden on his shoulders to sort of, you know, carry that second unit, lead them. And as I said, it's been an inconsistent unit and lineup that I've thrown out there. So we just got to find some comfort level with that group.
So Steve Kerr sticking with them. He doesn't have a choice right now. I mean, the Warriors may make a move at the deadline. I know, you know, Anthony Slater wrote about this in The Athletic. Maybe Jordan Poole gets a shot when the G League season wraps up and he rejoins the Warriors. There's really no other option. Nico Mannion, I know, but he's in the G League too. There's really no option right now. Like, Wanamaker's going to have to play those 5 or 6 minutes. There may be a change coming at some point, but Steve Kerr, it's like he's trying to do his best to continue to keep his confidence up. I mean, we've seen this with Oubre. We've seen this with other situations when Kerr's been questioned, and it's worked. But just where are you at with Wanamaker now?
Yeah, I was inclined to say ride it out with them, and clearly, you know, it's not costing them wins per se. I mean, it'd be hard to, you know, equate the games that they've actually lost and the games that he's played poorly, and could you draw a direct correlation? I mean, bottom line, though, is if this team has aspirations of, you know, a postseason run and really gelling in the second half, I think Wanamaker's going to get a little bit more leash, but I'm kind of running out of patience, you know, just as far as the rest of the team's playing so well. I mean, I thought Damian Lee played his ass off tonight, and he was just so active and just he had a lot of bounce tonight. Wanamaker's in a tough stretch, and yeah, I like Kerr making the distinction there about not getting to play with Steph and Draymond, and it has been kind of patchwork with that second unit, and we're not talking about elite NBA talent that he's playing with a lot of the time, right? But
now,
regardless,
Kit Bazemore's like the most experienced, proven dude when he's out there with him.
Exactly.
And he's not always out there with him.
Totally. And so it's been patchwork for Wanamaker. And so I understand where the frustration's coming from. He needs to play better. I'd give it a couple of more weeks and see if a shot comes around. But if you get closer to the deadline and this is still the same Brad Wanamaker you're getting, I think the Warriors got to do something, because I think you owe it to the rest of the guys on the squad at that point to put the best lineup out there that you can. And I like him sticking with Wanamaker for now, but you know, I think they, at this point, you could probably find a better option. Even if it is Jordan Poole, hey, at least you know he can score. I just know Steve Kerr doesn't want him to lose their edge defensively, and he's always going to lean that way. And I know that frustrates Warriors fans, but in reality, JD, it's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, if somebody would obviously have to get cut if they add somebody, or somebody would have to go in a trade, I think it's a little trickier. I think it's a little trickier than meets the eye as far as making that move there, especially because Mannion and Poole are already on the roster. Poole might hit a shot for you. I do think Poole at some point probably will get a little bit of an opportunity once he's back from the G League, and then it may wind up with Wanamaker still being the guy off of that. I'm interested to see how much of an opportunity Poole may get before the deadline, because you almost want to see what you've got in him before you truly decide if you have to make a move to go get a veteran backup point guard. So if you can't see it from him, it may just wind up being Wanamaker. One more cut here, and then we'll call it a night. Just the second unit as a whole, and you know, Wiggins was out there with Wiseman and Pascal. Here's what Steve Kerr said about the second unit.
Well, we've just got to get better, and you know, it's not like we've had a consistent rotation lately. You know, we did for a while playing Eric at the five. Now the last couple games, we've played Eric at the four and James at the five. So it's a brand new lineup, given the difference in dynamics. With Eric at the five and small guys around him, it's an easier flow to find. And so, you know, if we're going to stick with this group playing together, they got to find their offensive rhythm. But more than anything, they got to get stops. That's what keeps the momentum in the game, is stringing together some stops.
I don't like what Wiseman and Pascal playing together. That almost bothers me more than Wanamaker, to be perfectly honest. And I know it's unfortunate, because when Pascal plays the five, he has been effective at times, although it feels like for the most part, maybe that run, you know, has run its course a little bit. And you're looking for ways to allow Wiseman to flourish. And I think putting Wiseman with that, you know, giving him minutes at the top of the second and fourth quarter is a way to maybe put a little bit more on his plate. I don't really totally know what the solution is. I mean, maybe it is a backup point guard that can score a little bit more. Maybe that would help offset some of it in those minutes where Steph isn't out there. But I don't like the Wiseman-Pascal combo, and I'd almost rather, all right, play Wiseman, play another wing, play Wanamaker. And just go with the point guard, the big man, and three wings.
Well, yeah, and it still occurs. Going to have to try and figure that out, what the best combination is going to be. I agree with you, Wiseman, and Pascal doesn't do a lot for me. But it's just some bottom-line stuff for me, JD. Draymond and Curry, their minutes are going to mirror each other, and when those guys are resting, whoever else is out there, they're just not going to be as good because they're not Draymond and Curry, right? And so, and you don't want to take too much of the other firepower away and start mixing and matching, because when Draymond and Curry are out there, you want the offense to be able to hum at optimal output, right? So there's going to be, you know, a couple of 6-minute stretches in a game, typically to start the second quarter and the fourth quarter, where the Warriors are going to be a little bit vulnerable. And, you know, maybe they make a move at some point to move off of Wanamaker. But Wiseman needs to get minutes. And even if it means Pascal maybe not getting as many minutes, like, that is what it is, because this is about Wiseman getting his minutes this year. And, I mean, he can basically score any time. And regardless, I know this team still isn't a finished product, but they're playing some great basketball right now. They're entertaining the hell out of us. Need to protect the ball a little bit more against the Lakers on Sunday. But I think the Lakers, this is a perfect test at the perfect time for this basketball team. And I'm looking forward to it, partner. Let's get it on.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And I should point out, Kelly Oubre's been more a part of that with Draymond and Steph. I noticed this a couple of games ago, and it was true again tonight. Oubre played the entire first and third quarters, again, with Draymond and with Curry. And so he hasn't been a part of that second unit because Wiseman and Pascal have been. Well, there's been that uptick in Oubre's play playing with the other two is why I wanted to point it out. He's sure really benefiting, I think, from that.
Well, yeah, and I think, too, it just gives that number one unit like a complete look, right? You got the shooting of Steph, the passing of Draymond, the slashing of Oubre. Draymond and Oubre both plus defenders. I mean, there's a lot to like about those three right there, so I'd like to see it continue. I mean, the same way you would see, you know, a lot, you know, for majority of the game, you'd see Klay out there with Steph, right? Because that's kind of how they roll.
Yeah, no doubt. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues, because I think it really has helped Kelly Oubre. That's going to do it for us. Great stuff, my man.
No doubt.
Friday, going late, little OT on Warriors wrap-up tonight off a big win. We're back at it together on Sunday. That's 3:30 for Warriors Live, as we'll have it for you here, getting you close to the Warriors and the Lakers down at Staples Center for the second time this season. 5 o'clock tip. We'll be on the air at 3:30 with Warriors Live, and then taking you into the night. I'll be back tomorrow. Quick turnaround for me, joining Nick Friedell.
I'll be listening.
From 9 a.m. until noon, and then we'll reconvene on Sunday afternoon. Great stuff, my man. Really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, wifey and I taking a little jaunt down to Half Moon Bay tomorrow. We're both off on a Saturday for the first time in forever. So we'll be listening to you and Nick, and I'll be jealous because you're talking Dubs and you're hanging out with another partner, right? Like, you're hanging out with another host. But I'll be listening, and I'll be there with you in spirit, okay? And enjoy it, and we'll talk to you Sunday, brother.
Sounds good. All right, for Ryan Covey, I'm John Dickinson. Thanks to Sterling. Thanks to – we had Craig Valentino. We had Bobby Spang, Sterling as well. We're back again Sunday, 3:30 with Warriors Live. Warriors win it tonight, 130-121. And you heard it all right here on your home for Warriors basketball. It's 95.7 The Game.